This podcast is brought to you by You're the Best, a celebration of friendship, a new collection of essays about the power of female friendships by the Satellite Sisters. Do you have a girls' weekend coming up, or maybe just a girls' night out, a birthday, a shower, a wedding? You're the Best is a great thank you gift for the Satellite Sisters in your life. Tell your girlfriends they're the best. Find You're the Best at Amazon or wherever books are sold. You're listening to Satellite Sisters. I'm Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California. I'm here with my sister, Julie Dolan, who's in Dallas, Texas. And this is our Satellite Sisters recap of the PBS drama Poldark. We're in season 2, episode 6. And Julie, I have to be honest, this was not my favorite episode.
No. Not so much. I have to be honest with you. I fell asleep the first time I watched this, and I woke up and I was in India. You know the show that comes on after Poldark? It's a Masterpiece Theater show about India. And I was like, how did they get to India? Yeah, I nodded off, Leon. I don't know. There were many scenes that were in the dark. Was it just me?
Or did you? Very dark episode. And I know, like, because of the American elections going on now, I understand that my focus was off. I just couldn't deal. I was like, the democracy is at stake. I just don't care about this smuggling storyline anymore. I don't know who all these hairy, dirty people are. All right. So our recap this week is just more of a collection of random thoughts. Usually we try to break down the storylines, but Julie fell asleep and I was distracted. So that doesn't mean we didn't watch it and try to.
No, I woke up the next day, watched the whole thing. Yeah. Yes. So yes.
Yeah, I did refocus. I went through it all. Still, though, there's some parts of it I just didn't care about. But Julie, you're right. Most of the show was in the dark, so it was just very hard to see and as well as care about. But okay, so here's what I remember. First of all, I have to say my heart is broken for Dwight, the good doctor, and for Caroline.
Yes. You know, this is just a great love story. They look so good together. Come on. Those two, every time they meet in the woods and they kiss, she has some fabulous either red coat or purple coat on. And, you know, and he loves her. You know, he's the good country doctor. But they're just from two different worlds, aren't they, Leanne?
It was doomed from the start, but I totally fell for it. Like, I thought they really might get away. They really might elope and make it work and, you know, live off his country salary until she inherits her money. And even though the odds are against him, but it just didn't really work for them. So that really kind of broke my heart. That really did. And he had a great show. All right. My second random thought here. I think Ross and the boys there are using some kind of new hair product because I just thought they had some, like, a lot of good hair this week, a lot of messy holds, you know, like Ross in that scene with Elizabeth in the beginning when, like, oh, yes, I'll come whenever you call. But his hair just looked great.
Yes, he did. It was up off his face. You could see more of his forehead. I think that's what you liked about it.
Yeah.
And that scene was in the daylight, so it was easier to get a good look at his hair. So, yes, he still is a scoundrel, and we're still mad at Ross
because
he's out there smuggling. He's out there putting everything at risk, you know, and fooling around with Elizabeth. You know, he is just over at her house every single day. In the meantime, Demelza is chopping wood. She's playing pianos. She's singing for Ross when he's not there. She's providing love counseling to Elizabeth, you know, or to Caroline when she shows up. She is just working as hard as she can. And Ross is doing, I don't know what he's doing. So he's just doing his hair, Leanne, apparently. Yeah. That's what's going on.
Yeah. Ross is kind of like the star athlete who's really into himself right now. And it's annoying. So it's annoying to me.
Yeah.
I did enjoy Aunt Agatha cracking wise about Ross. That was a bright spot.
Yeah, she's good. How about when she pulled out the pistol from her cape there? That was good too. Yeah, she is not buying Elizabeth as the grieving widow. Elizabeth was very manipulative in this episode, Leanne. You know, I mean, and can I say that the mail works very well in Cornwall? I mean, they dash off these little notes and they're there. Everybody seems to get the news right away, right?
At all hours of the day and night. I mean, this is an episode where everyone in town seemed to be up at like 2 a.m. sending notes to each other. What is, I didn't understand that. Yeah, I would say like Elizabeth could not be any more pathetic to me. We have George the Weasel is using some manipulation, like, oh, he's going to scare her about the French Revolution. Well, what on earth could the French Revolution be? Why is that an issue for her at Trenwith? Nothing. Like, just pull yourself together, Buttercup. I mean, seriously, why isn't Ross calling you back? Because he has a wife and child and a failing mind. I mean, you're not his wife. Oh, she's just bugging me.
And she was annoyed about that she expects Ross to show up at her beck and call, you know, and that. And she's just looking for excuses to involve Ross in her life, you know, as if he's not galloping over there every chance he gets. So she's encouraging that. So I think Aunt Agatha is going to take that pistol and she's going to point it at someone, Leon. I'm worried about that.
And George's plan to like, oh, I'll scare her into marrying me. I mean, what does she think is going to happen? That the French peasants are going to march on her house in Cornwall? No one even knows where Cornwall is.
Okay.
It's just annoying me.
You went a little too far with that, Leon. Okay.
How about now, Demelza, she had that one scene where she was just windswept. Oh, that was a good look, right? On the cliffs there.
You know how cold and damp it was, but somehow she makes that work when she has that shawl and it's off her shoulder. It's not even like wrapped around her neck. And she's just out there looking for her man. I mean, that's the thing. Demelza is keeping those home fires burning. You know, she is just doing her best. And Ross, I don't know. He's such a disappointment that way.
Yeah. It's been, okay, another thought. It's been two seasons. Are they ever going to find copper? Like, I mean,
it's just to keep
finding it
quartz.
Or move on. Become a sales rep or something, Ross. I mean, he just has one stupid idea after another. Like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll just go catch a ride with these smugglers and then drink myself silly while you hold down the fort and the town and the family. Okay. And then try to find that guy that killed his wife and ask him about the mine. I mean, what was that?
I don't know. I don't know what that guy was. And he was like a mountain man, that hairy guy.
The hairy guy. He was the one in the first season that like strangled his wife accidentally. Oops. And then they got him out of town. She was sort of the manipulative wife and he killed her. And then they're like, okay, don't worry. We'll hide you, buddy. But he's somehow like a mining savant, Mark Daniel. You know?
Yeah, he has like one of those sticks, a divining stick. Yeah. That was the worst hair and beard combo. I mean, he should go back to wardrobe and demand something that looks more realistic. I mean, that was like a Halloween costume, hair and beard.
Yeah, I just had to stop caring like halfway through that scene because there was so much hair. I didn't know what was happening. So it's if Ross was drinking his face off and singing.
I know Ross's propensity to drink. It has me worried too. I mean, you think he is a man of such high moral standards that's trying to save his town and his, you know, fortune and his community. Not so much, you know, I mean, he goes off the rails quite a bit there, Leon.
Liz, you know, we love talking about Framebridge, don't we?
We do.
because
there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting Framebridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already frame-bridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the Framebridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and Framebridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but Framebridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds like...
But you're going to be happy, okay? And that's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be out. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit Framebridge.com or see a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's Framebridge.com. Thanks, Framebridge. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank Pros for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. Mm-hmm. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from Pros is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that Pros hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, Pros is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, Pros, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. Pros isn't just better for you. It's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So, Pros, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, Pros. Pros is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And Pros is spelled P-R-O-S-E. Pros.com/sisters. Thanks, Pros.
Yeah, he does. He redeems himself with these big, bold courtroom statements or big gestures and stuff like that. But then in between, he's it's just, you know, it's attractive, though. Okay, now,
one
of the scenes I liked a lot was the scene with Demelza and Dwight Ennis when he came to her and said, you know, she is Ross here, and she guessed very quickly, is about Caroline? Are you leaving? I thought that was a lovely scene. And I thought the two of them, their complexions were just glowing. Like that, oh, that milky skin on the two of them. It was just unbelievable.
It's all that salt air, I guess, just getting into the pores, you know, doing something, because they're incredible looking.
All right. For me, the big winner of the episode was Dr. Dwight. I mean, he's a good man, a mighty, mighty good man. You know, he's just trying to do the right thing. He is torn with love for Caroline, but he also loves his patients. He loves his people. He's loyal to Ross. You know, he left her sitting in that carriage with the tear and the pug while he went off and, like, he found the guy who was the snitch. Yeah.
That was quite a battle scene that they had there. I was afraid Dr. Ennis was going to kill the snitch, you know, but they were really whacking at each other.
Yeah, that was a good man fight, as opposed to George the Weasel and Ross's kind of sissy man fight. No, that was a good one. That, I mean, again, he showed he was a real man. And then he has to rush off because he's like, oh, no, Ross is going to be caught with his stupid idea to, like, bring the smugglers back in. And we know that Dr. Ennis has a patient on one side who's looking for the smugglers, and then he's friends with Ross, who is a smuggler. So he goes and he builds that giant bonfire on the bluff.
That was smart.
Yeah.
Did you know that that's the international sign for ambush, is a bonfire on a bluff?
I didn't.
Okay. It is, apparently. Okay. Because Ross, he recognized that right away. And I thought that was fairly suspenseful, you know, like, was he going to get there in time?
Yeah.
You know, and then when he was hiding in the crawl space under his house, that was pretty good too, whether or not he was going to be discovered, whether Ross was going to be discovered. So I felt like the end of the episode really picked up. Yeah. So when I watched it the second time and I was awake for it, it really was
once
quite
they tough. Got out of India. I mean, you're right. That was confusing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Caroline's note to Dwight, I thought that was heartbreaking.
Oh,
just I shall not see you again or whatever she said.
I know.
She just.
I mean, haven't you grown in admiration for Caroline too?
Yes.
I mean, she has really tried hard. She bought all those oranges. She really tried to understand, you know, his life and his love. And she tried, you know, because they come from two different worlds. But
they do, Julie.
Yeah. I know. I mean, I'm going to keep hope alive, Leanne, that, yeah, you know, that they're going to be able to be reunited later on, because, you know, Caroline hasn't done anything to, we have our faith in her, you know, she hasn't done anything wrong yet. So, she's not like that Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Cannot be trusted.
Hmm. Yeah. And then I thought, once again, the redcoats, just big losers. I mean,
well, it's hard to have an ambush when you've got all those brass buttons on, all that, you know, they couldn't even crouch down on the bluff there, Leanne, you know, they're just, those are not good fighting outfits.
No.
Okay. And just one more thing. I don't know how Elizabeth and Demelza stay on their horses side saddle. I mean, I don't know how they do it. They are galloping in almost every scene, you know, going over bluffs. I mean, Demelza is going into town on those very uneven roads, and she's just, you know, is she strapped in on those horses, or are they just, I don't know how they stay on.
I don't know either. And I'm never going to find out, because, you know, I hate horses, but, they scare me, but it does. It's just so ridiculous. I mean, yes, I guess I understand why they were in skirts and that wasn't proper and all this kind of stuff, but yeah, it does look really hard and looks just so uncomfortable. It looks like they're just perched on top of these giant animals. Whereas the men, you know, get to strap their legs around the animals. So that makes sense. So
yeah,
you're right. That was amazing. There was some amazing side saddle riding. So, Julie, I don't know. I just hope, I hope next episode there's better lighting. I hope there's better lighting.
Yes.
And I just feel like this smuggling storyline, I guess it's supposed to be more meaningful. Like, we're supposed to understand the political and economic
context.
Implications. Like, we're supposed to care really deeply about this in the context of the French Revolution. And at one point, didn't they mention like the Jacobins or whatever?
Yes.
I mean, what was that? Like, I thought that was Outlander. Is that happening at the same time?
Maybe I fell asleep again and I was watching an Outlander rerun. I don't know, Leanne.
A crossover episode would be good. That would be good. So I know we're supposed to care about that kind of stuff, but I don't know. I wish they'd just find some copper in the mine. Like, because I feel like, you know, every single week on the brink of poverty and disaster, it's just, you can only ask that so much of the audience. You have to wrap that up and move on or not. So, and we're going to miss Caroline. Like, where is the love story going to come from?
I don't know. I think next, we got to hope for more light, more scenes that are held in the light.
Yeah.
More love. Okay. And we're not talking about Ross and Elizabeth. Okay.
Yeah.
So we want to see a return to Caroline and, because those are all the characters, right? There's no one else. There's no one else. I know that was the big love story. Oh, well.
Okay. Well, this is the Poldark recap with the Satellite Sisters. We also recap Madam Secretary, the CBS drama. That happens at the exact same time as Poldark, but is a completely different story. You can find that at satellitesisters.com or at iTunes or Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And then we do a weekly Satellite Sister show, which is just about sort of everything else that's not television related, from news to life to recipes to Thanksgiving to, you know, this week we discussed why we should eliminate all time zones in the world, something I think is a great idea. And Julie thinks it's akin to the metric system. So,
yes,
but we cover a lot of stuff on Satellite Sisters this week. You're going to want to check that out as well. All right, Julie, rest up. Rest up.
You too.
Get
have
your
a,
eyes
have
checked.
Have a good election day.
Thanks.
At, let's all hope we can come together. Okay.
Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.